Hello, I'm Lee Benton, pastor of the Open Door Baptist Church. Our congregation and myself would like to take this opportunity to thank you for listening to the sermon today. Our prayer is that the message will help you to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you is our prayer. Verse 1 of chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, the Bible says, "Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father." Hear ye children, the instruction of a father. Let's pray, Lord. We love you. We thank you, Lord, that there's no father, Lord, that could compare to thee. Lord, you're such a wonderful, heavenly, holy, wonderful father, Lord. We thank you that we're privileged and blessed to be your children this morning. Lord, I thank you, Lord, that we have the opportunity, Lord, to meet in this place this morning on Father's Day 2012 and in just a small way just show our love and show our appreciation to all our fathers that make up this church. I pray you'll bless our dads, Lord, that they'll live for thee. You'll help them to have a testimony that is for thy glory. And we'll thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you and be seated. We will not have children's church today because it is Father's Day, and I was hoping our children would be there with their fathers or grandfathers this morning. So if you children will pay close attention to what thus saith the Lord today, I believe you'll also receive a blessing also. Now, you fathers, you should have received a sandwich bag of different items. There should be 6 items. And did every father get one? And in those items, you're going to find there is a Mounds bar. Hallelujah. You'll find a peppermint patty. You're going to find a paper clip. You're going to find a golf tee. Got to have golf in here somehow. You're going to find a Charleston chew. How many of you remember Charleston chews? You know where that came from? The Roaring Twenties, the Charleston chew dance. And I found that out yesterday. I thought it was something from Charleston, South Carolina. But it's the Charleston chew. And then you're going to find, I believe, last of all, a Starburst. 6 items that is in your bag this morning. And ladies, I hope you wrote those down or you'll remember that as I go through these 6 items. I got some words I want to say by the way of introduction, but I'm going to skip that this morning since it's already 15 till. I'm going to get right into the message, and I want to tell you why the Lord led me, I believe, to Proverbs chapter 4. Solomon was, we know, the wisest man who ever lived or who ever will live on this earth. We know that Solomon was the child of David and Bathsheba. We know that when Solomon prayed to the Lord that God was pleased with his life and his prayer and that he said, "Solomon, you ask me of anything that you desire and I'll give it to you." And all the things he could ask for, he asked for wisdom. And he said, "Give me that wisdom to judge, to discern these great people." He called them great people because they were God's people. I have a Solomon sword in my study. And that sword is there to remind me of Solomon's prayer. And I also pray, "God, give me the wisdom and the discernment to judge and to lead and instruct you, God's great people." And so Solomon now is up in years, and he, at one time, he so served the Lord, and then he got in some sin. He began to love women of another nation, of a false religions, and it really hurt his testimony. But the book of Proverbs is when Solomon is an older man. And he's learned from his mistakes and his past experiences, and he is sharing instruction, his wisdom, to his own children. And ultimately, God has preserved this book as a father so that we, as his children, might have some instructions. I try to read whatever today's date is, that chapter in Proverbs, every day. Not always done it, but that is my desire to read because it is a book of instructions. Now, the verse that I have picked as our launching pad is verse 1. It says, "Hear, ye children." If the word "hear" means more than listen to my words, it means to let it go through your eardrums and deep in your heart. Apply it to your life. Hear ye children the instruction of a father. I believe that the greatest instructions that we can receive, I thank the Lord for the instructions that I've received, and you, I no doubt, are thankful for the instructions that you've received from your earthly father. But the greatest instructions that you and I could ever receive is from the Heavenly Father, and it is found in His heavenly book, and that is the Word of God, the Bible. And so we need this morning as fathers and you moms and you children and grandparents, or if you're not a father, this applies to everybody. But there is six items in that bag that I want to remind you of some things. I want you to, first of all, look at the T that you have there in your bag. The T. Now, I don't want to get in trouble and say that all fathers ought to play golf a lot, because I'd get in trouble for that. But the T represents to remind you that it is terrific to be a father. It is terrific to be a father. Every time you look upon that T, I want you to remember what God has said in His Word, that it is terrific to be a father. Now, in Psalms 127, if you're good at speed drills, you turn there right fast. If not, just listen to me. But in Psalms chapter 127, verse number 3 is a wonderful verse, not only for fathers, but it's also for moms, for all parents. And the Bible says, this is the words of David to his son Solomon. He says in verse number 3, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord." He says, children are an heritage. That word heritage from the Greek means possession. It means possession. Now, if it was talking about a thing, it would mean property. But since it's talking about a person, it means a possession. The Bible says children are an possession, a possession of the Lord. Now, when you understand the word heritage and you understand the word possession, it gives a more deeper meaning, which means that they are a possession of the Lord, but it doesn't stop there. That is given as a heirloom to the child. What is the Bible saying here is, parents, your children were a possession of God. And in His love, in His mercy, He has gave you His possession, which is your children. Children are very special. It is terrific to be a father. Now notice what it says in the last part of verse 3. And the fruit of the womb, we know that's children, right? That's got to be kids. The womb is speaking of the belly or the womb of a female, of a lady. It says that the fruit of the womb is His, the Lord's reward. If you have a child, you've been blessed by God. I know at times that we look at their rooms, and they don't take out the trash, and they don't rake the leaves, and they make more of a mess than they do clean up. I know all about that. I'm telling you, I know it well. But I'm telling you what, we need to be reminded, remember when you look at that T, it is terrific to be a father. It is a blessing of God to have a child or children. Because they are inheritance, they are possessions of the Lord, and He has granted you by His love that you might take them. Now what happens? You remember, I guess a good example of this would be the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden was a possession of God. But He gave it to Adam. But when He gave it to Adam, not only was there privilege, but listen to me, dads, there was responsibility. Adam was to till the land. He was to take care of the garden. And you and I are to take care of our children, and we are to till some things in their lives. We are to work and cultivate in their lives that they might be children that help and are a blessing to society. Can I get a witness? Hey, listen, it's terrific to be a father. It's terrific to be a father. I want to say, second of all, you'll see in your bag there is a peppermint patty. Is anybody like Matthew and I? We like peppermint patties. I like that cool sensation. Hallelujah. I like when it blows all my hair back. Amen. All the hair I got, boy, it just blows all my... And I just feel like you're sitting in your shorts out in the middle of the snow somewhere. Just a cool sensation. Peppermint Patty. What does that remind us of? I want you to understand that when you look at that Peppermint Patty, be reminded that it is important to give encouragement to your children. Father, it is important that you give encouragement to your children. Your children need that encouragement, Dad. They need your approval, Dad. I'm amazed at how many times my wife can say something to Matthew or Morgan and about whatever it may be, and I can give you a bunch of examples, but Mom always says this, y'all don't believe me, ask your daddy. See what your daddy thinks. They are waiting on my approval. It happens so often in our home. They love Mama, but they want my approval. Now, is this not true? That it's true that children seek comfort and a refuge with their mom. But when it comes to approval and encouragement, they look for it in their dad. I've told you before, I wouldn't do anything to disrespect my father. But one thing I like, playing all the ball I played in high school, my dad hardly ever came to any of my soccer games, any of my basketball, any of my baseball games. Never came to them. I was the youngest guy on my high school baseball team. I was the youngest guy on my high school soccer team. I was at one time a pretty good ball player, Brother Albert. I was. Amen. And I could play some ball. But my dad never hardly came. And I remember people would come to my dad and said, that boy of yours can play some ball, buddy. He can play some ball. My dad hardly ever came. I looked for that approval from my dad. I wanted my dad to approve me. My dad played 12 years of softball. 11 out of 12 years, he was all-star. The one year he wasn't, he had broke his ankle that season. And I knew my dad was a great ball player. All I heard growing up is how great my dad was in playing softball and how he ran track. He held the record of the 1 mile run at Forest Hills High School in Marshall, North Carolina for a long time. It's been beaten since then, but he did hold it for some time. I wanted my dad to approve my abilities on the ball field. My mom always in the stands. My mom always watched me. She'd go to the away games. My dad never did. And I miss that. I guess if I miss anything, I miss my dad being there at my ball games. And now my dad, we never miss church to go to ball practice. God forbid, daddies, you teach your kids you can miss church to go to ball practice. Ball's not that important compared to the Bible. We never did. But of course I went to a Christian school, and so we didn't have ball games on Wednesday nights and Sundays anyway. Thank God for that. They didn't give us homework on Wednesday night. Thank God for that. They wanted to promote church attendance like it ought to be. But my dad just wasn't there. And I thought, boy, I wish I had his approval. I want to tell you, Dad. Now, I'm a father too, so I'm preaching to me too. So don't say, well, he just thinks he's the world's greatest. I make mistakes too, but I understand the importance of the encouragement and the approval my kids are looking for from their father. I thought about my kids need encouragement in their academics. So, Dad, you didn't do too well in math. Don't discourage your kid from not doing well.
Well, that's the way I was in school, son. It's okay.
No, it's not okay. It's not okay. You want more for your children than you had, am I right? You encourage, be an encouragement in their academics. Listen, and I hope you don't get mad, but anybody puts athletics above academics is not right with God. I believe with all my heart. The Bible says to study to show yourself approved. Academics ought to be number one. If your kids don't have a certain grade level, I suggest that you tell them they can't play ball until they do. It's the way I feel. Academics ought to be number one. Amen? The chance of our children playing pro sports is very, very slim. And so many parents put all their time in athletics, and then when they finally can't play pro sports and make the millions, they got to go out there and dig a ditch. Why? Because daddy put more focus on athletics than he did academics. You hear me today? I'm telling you, let's encourage them in their academics. Amen? They ought to be smart. Ought to make the A honor roll the B honor roll. Ought to be smart. Amen. Encourage them. Amen. Ought to be an encouragement, not only in academics, but so you don't think I'm preaching against ball playing. We ought to be an encouragement in athletics. My boy, now that my wife wants to play golf, pray for me. My wife has fell in love with golf. Jimmy made them clubs for Wednesday night, and she just wants to know when we're going next. I told Jimmy, I said, Jimmy, if we're not there on Sunday morning, you know that my wife, I'm trying to get her. She's on the golf course somewhere. Amen. She has got bit with the bug. Hallelujah. And so we played golf. We went on our trip, and we all played golf one day. And Matthew's got a really good swing for a 10-year-old. He's going to be good, I believe. And Matthew plays, and Mom said, that's really good. But Matthew really don't care what Mom thinks. He knows Dad plays. He's seen Dad win trophies. He knows Dad can play. And so he wants to hear from Dad. Is that not right, Matt? He wants Dad to say, son, that's a good shot. That's a good swing. You kept your head down, your feet down, were square, you're balanced, you're relaxed in your knees, you look really good, son. That's just the way they're looking for encouragement, Dad, in academics and athletics. And what about the accountabilities at home? You know, we love to tell our kids, get your lazy rear end up and go clean that room. Get out there and feed that dog. Do y'all have to do that every night? Every night we will say, I'm telling you, every night, go feed your dog. Did y'all feed your dog? No, it's Morgan's turn. I fed him last night. I said, both of you go then. You give water and you give food. Man, every night they want a dog, but they don't want to feed the dog. Y'all got children like that? Whatever animal it is. Everybody's waving and shouting. Y'all shouting more now than you did when we sung. Amen. But I'm telling you, they just don't want to take care of the animals. They want them. You know, Morgan, you have to drag Morgan by the hair to feed Bailey. But you know what she wants, Miss Tiffany? She wants a horse. Wants a horse. She can't even feed a little beagle dog, but she wants a horse. Say, honey, forget it. You kill that horse. Amen. She needs a billy goat. Don't have to take care of them, do you? Let them just eat the grass. Amen. But we got to encourage them in their accountabilities. Yeah, we got to say, hey, get up there and do it. But when they do it, encourage them. We sometimes will give our children a $5 bill. We don't give them allowances. We just, at times, give them a 5 or a 10 for what they do. Morgan and Matt went out there to the sign, and they pulled every bit of that grass. I appreciate my children. They pulled every bit of that grass. That sign was getting away, and they went out there and pulled it. I told them I'd give them $15 a piece when they got back. So I'm going to reward you for doing that. And we're going to do that because I want them to know. Now, I don't want them to get so in thinking that every time they do good that Daddy's going to pull out the wallet either. That they know that's not going to happen. But at the same time, they need to be encouraged. We need to be encouragement in their academics and their athletics and their accountabilities at home. If they do it, won't you just pat them on the back? Won't you take them to, I was going to say McDonald's, but we're trying to stay away from there. But take them somewhere. Take them to the park. Take them to Francis Meadows or whatever you want to do. Take them somewhere and just say, hey, I'm proud of you. You did that, and I didn't have to push you and tell you to do it. I didn't have to threaten you to the edge of your life to do it. You did it. Be an encouragement. And then we need to be an encouragement on their academics, their athletics, their accountabilities at home, but their actions as young Christians. We need to be an encouragement, Dad, in their actions as young Christians. If they have a desire to go to church, you ought to say, praise the Lord, I'm so proud of you. Nothing should make fathers more proud of their children than the fact they love Jesus Christ. Nothing should make you more happy in your heart and more joyful in your soul than that they love to be a Christian and they want to serve the Lord. Their actions as a young Christian needs encouragement. Amen. Encourage them. If they want to sing, encourage them. Amen. Get somewhere and say, honey, let's practice a song. Go in the living room, Mom, and practice with your daughter. You may end up singing with them too. Go somewhere. If they want to preach, you take them to there and show them how to study the Bible a little bit. Talk to them about God's Word. Do those things. Let's be an encouragement as fathers in academics, athletics, accountabilities at home, and actions that they have as young children for the Lord. I want to say about encouragement, listen to me, and I'm going to have to hurry. A family life specialist by the name of Delmore W. Holbrook and his wife traveled around the country, and they spend their time lecturing and conducting surveys about parenting. And they had a survey about, with hundreds of kids, what is the response you receive from your parent when you ask them something? What do you hear most? And the top three responses, listen to me, number one was, I'm too tired. I'm too tired. I know we get tired. I get tired too. And sometimes that's legit. We are too tired. But sometimes we just overuse that, don't we? I'm too tired. The second in line of excuses that we give our children was, we don't have enough money. Now that's my number one, but just kidding. But we don't have enough money. You don't have to have money to have fun. And I don't want to inbred in my children that money makes you happy. No, you can have fun sitting around playing games. I know the Hartleys do that. That's a real blessing. Just family time. Sometimes we just lay on the living room floor and we watch a Disney movie or some movie. We have family time. We have popcorn. Sometimes we'll just go do something, or but we don't spend no money. But we'll say, I don't have the money. Well, there's ways around that, aren't there? Call Chris Shaw. He's a deacon. He'll help you. Hey, man, you need money? Call him. Say, Brother Chris, I need to spend time with my children. No, you're for that. Can I borrow 20? Amen? Bob says, go to the deacon if you need help. Amen? Obey the Bible. Amen. Elizabeth says, I go to them every week. Amen. Amen. We need to be an encouragement to them. We need to remember, number one, that it's terrific to be a father. We need to remember, number two, that we need to give them that encouragement. Then let me read this to you, that in the third thing you have there, now you want to give Scripture, Ephesians 6, Father, provoke not your children. That means don't discourage them, encourage them. Provoke not your children to wrath. All right, the third thing you'll see in that bag, I'm hurrying, is a Charleston chew. What does that ought to remind us of, preacher? Well, I believe when we look at that Charleston chew, we ought to remember that the choices we choose will have an impact on our children. Remember, Father, when you look at that Charleston chew, that the choices that you choose will have an impact on your children. I remember the story, and I know I've said this story before, but it's a great example. And as far as I know, it's a true story. I believe I heard it from an evangelist years ago, but he said that there was a man and a family that lived in Chicago, and it was during the winter, and it snowed about 2-3 foot of snow, and said that this man was nothing but a drunk, and that the roads hadn't been cleared from the snow and the ice, and so such a desire for that liquor and alcohol that he left the house, and he decided to put his coat and scarf and hat on and walk down to the local bar. And he began to walk through that snow, one step at a time, trying to get to that bar because he craved that liquor. That liquor had such a hold on him. And the testimony was that he heard something behind him. And he turned and looked, and it was his own boy, 6-year-old boy, behind him, and just stepping in the footsteps that Dad had already left. And the story goes that the man said, son, what are you doing out here? It's freezing out here. You'll freeze to death. Get back in that house. And the son said something that changed the man's life. He said, Daddy, all I'm doing is following your footsteps. Them footsteps was leading to alcohol. It was leading to immorality. It was leading to liquor and beer. He said, Dad, I'm just following your footsteps. I'm telling you what, Dads, you better look behind you. You're leaving some footprints. And your precious blue-eyed, brown-eyed, green-eyed children are right in your footsteps. Listen to me. You better remember, Dad, the choices that you choose is going to impact your children. A little girl followed her father as he carefully stepped through a new garden. She stepped exactly where he stepped and said to her dad, Daddy, if you don't get mud on your feet, I won't get mud on mine. Did you hear me? Daddy, if you don't get mud on your feet, I won't get mud on mine. Oh, boy, that would break your heart. Oh, I wonder how much mud is in our children's lives right now because they saw the mud in our life. You know how it's true. I spent 3 years in the prison ministry, and I'm telling you, I don't know how many men, young men, old men, would tell me stories about their dad wasn't nothing but a drunk, and that's where they ended up. Their dad wasn't nothing but a gambler, and that's where they ended up. Their dad was nothing but a child molester, and that's what they ended up. Their dad was nothing but a wife beater, and that's the way they ended up. I'll tell you what. Oh, God help us. daddies, fathers, mamas, we got to remember the choices that we choose are going to impact our children. They're going to impact our children. And then what about, what are we at? Number four, the starburst. You see that starburst in there? I believe that starburst, Brother Keith, reminds us, or we need to remember, that our testimony, our example, will shine bright as a star in their life. I believe that starburst ought to remind us, listen to me, I'm landing the plane, listen to me. That starburst ought to remind us, dads, and even you moms and grandparents, it ought to remind us that our testimony for the Lord, our example for the Lord, will shine as bright as a star in their life. They'll never get over, I don't care who their friends end up being, I don't care what career and job, I don't care if they move thousands of miles away, if a mom and dad star, if they shine bright as a star for Jesus, them children will never get over that. Where's the Bible for that? Thank you for asking. The Bible says that a child that departs, when he's old, he'll return. Why? Because that testimony you have, mom and dad, shines so bright that they'll never forget it. Oh, may we have daddies. May we have mamas that have testimonies that shine bright as a star. You know what about a star? The Lord gave me this before I came in the auditorium. The Bible speaks about believers, stars represent believers. We know the S-O-S-U-N represents the S-O-N. We know that the earth represents the church. The moon has no light of itself. It only reflects the light of the S-U-N. The church has no light in itself. We only reflect the light of the S-O-N. The stars in the Bible, sometimes they are in context represented of angels. But other times in the Bible, they represent believers, Christians. What happens, Miss Elizabeth, to a star that is shining bright, hear me, shining bright in the heavens? What a testimony it has. You know, when you look at a star, the only thing you think about, honestly, I mean, really, what comes to your mind when you see that star, you think about its shine. Are you with me? You think about its shine, its brightness. But you know what happens? You know what happens? Sometimes them stars fall. And when they fall, they lose their shine. They lose their brightness. I wonder if there's anybody in here, you fail. You're not where you are to be. You've lost your shine for Jesus. Listen, our children need to see us shining for the Lord. Let your light so shine before men and our children. Amen. And can I get a witness? This is a wonderful message. We need this. And then I talked about this star. There's a story told of a young man who stood before a judge. He was going to be sentenced for forgery. The judge that was in the case was a friend to the boy's father. And the judge, before he sentenced the young man, he said, "Young man, do you remember your father? Do you remember how great your father was? Do you remember what a great man of society your father was? A learned man, a very successful man. He's the very father you've disgraced." The young man looked at the judge. He said, "I remember him better than you do, Judge. And what I remember is when I went to him for advice and encouragement and help, and I went to him for a friendship and companionship, he would say, 'Go away, son, I'm busy. I've got a career that I've got to be busy in, and I'm writing a book.'" He says, "Well, Judge, let me tell you something. He's finished his book, but here I am today." I'm telling you, your children are important. We ought to shine for the Lord. Amen? Shine bright so our children will see Jesus in our life. And then the last two is the clip. You see the clip in there? The paper clip? That paper clip just holds papers together, doesn't it? That paper clip ought to remind us that it's going to take prayer and a close relationship with Jesus Christ that's going to hold us together as Christian fathers. And I'll go a step farther. It's going to be prayer, Brother Jimmy, and a close relationship with Jesus that's going to hold our families together. Are you with me, Dad? You want to hold up in this wicked world? You want to hold up for the glory of God? You need prayer time. You need Bible time. You need a close relationship with the Lord. And when you have that, it's like a paperclip holding a bunch of office papers together. God will hold you as a father. He'll hold you as a godly man. He'll hold together your family in these fierce, wicked days in which we live. Oh, we need to be reminded, we need prayers, Daddy. We need to get on our knees, Mama. We need to get in our prayer closet and pray for God's help. We need to read the Bible. We need to go to church because that's what's going to hold us together. Oh, may you be reminded with that paper clip that it's going to take prayer. And the Word of God and that close relationship with Jesus that's going to hold your family together. I'll tell you, I have dealt. I do more than just preach. I do more than just direct service. I do more than visit. I've had many people in my study or in my living room, times where I was just me and them, or my wife was present, and people, a wife that said, we're no longer together because my husband quit following the Lord. He wouldn't go to church and destroyed our family. I've heard men say, I wish my wife stayed in church. She got out in the ways of the world, and church was not important to her anymore. I still tried to bring the kids and the grandkids, but she wouldn't come, or vice versa. I'm telling you, a close relationship is what's going to hold your family together. You're going to need it. You're going to need it. And then last of all, the last thing in there is probably my favorite thing in there. The Mounds bar. You ladies had Almond Joy, didn't you? We had to figure out how we can put Almond Joy and Mounds together. So, ladies got the Almond Joy because you're nuts. And Mounds, we men are not. What does that Mounds mean? Well, I want to end with this. Here are the instructions of a father. What father? The Heavenly Father. Here are the instructions, Father, that when you look at that, when you look at that tea, it's terrific to be a father. When you look at that peppermint patty, remember your children need encouragement in academics, athletics, accountabilities at home, actions as a young Christian. When you look at that Charleston chew, remember that the choices that you choose will have an impact on your children. When you look at that starburst, remember your testimony, your example is shining bright before your children. But if you fall, you'll lose your brightness and your shine. Remember, when you look at that paper clip, that it's going to take prayer and God's Word and a close relationship with Jesus Christ to hold your family together. Then last of all, when you look at that Mounds, I believe that, this is not my point, but I believe that all fathers ought to be today, you ought to just praise your father. I'm talking about your earthly father. You ought to give him honor. You may not have had a great father like some folks had. Your father may have not been that great of a man. But I'm sure there may be some things that you can look back and think, you know, at least my father did provide me some clothes, provide me a place to sleep. He did pay the bills so we can have electricity. I don't know. But you are to honor your father today. I got two cards today. My daughter spent the night, she was scheduled for a couple of weeks now to spend the night with Olivia last night. And so Matthew and Mom give me a Father's Day card this morning. And I guess Morgan's got one. I don't know if she's going to be a bad kid or not. But I read Matthew's card, and then I read my wife's card and what it meant to me. And I told them later, I said, y'all don't know how much just them cards mean to me, just cards. I don't really care about what's in the card wrote by somebody that don't know me. I care what they write with their hand. That's what's real to me. And I read that, they were just true blue to me. It meant so much to me. And my wife's card says that she had a picture of a man sitting in a recliner with a TV on. And it said that today's your day, and today I'm going to be served today. Hallelujah. I'm going to be took care of today. I got to order my dinner today. I can't wait to get home and eat my pre-ordered meal. U.S. Open's on today. I'm not going to do nothing. If you need something, call me Monday. Amen. She's got a picture of an old man with a remote watching TV, and my wife's got on there U.S. Open. She knows that's probably what I'm going to do. If I don't have to do anything, I'm just going to sit there, eat, and watch U.S. Open. And she said, it's your day. We're just going to take care of you today. And if you ought to give your father or your children's father, give him some praise. Give him a little love today. Give him a little extra effort. I've got to call my dad when I get home, but just let him know you love him. But when I talk about a mound, I want you to know that the Heavenly Father, you always remember this. Don't lose me, the Heavenly Father, Brother Tim Holloway, he always deserves, because of the Father that he is, he deserves mounds and mounds of praise from you. He deserves mounds and mounds of praise. He deserves mounds and mounds of thankfulness, mounds and mounds of thank yous, mounds and mounds of glory and honor. He, as our Father in heaven, deserves it. Mounds and mounds of it. The book of Ezra said, blessed be God the Father. People call it the Lord's Prayer. I don't call it the Lord's Prayer. I call it the model prayer, because the Lord prayed a lot of other times. But the very first part of the model prayer and the end is similar. The first part says, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The prayer starts out giving praise to the Father. You're holy. You're wonderful. But the prayer ends giving praise. It says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Amen. Our Heavenly Father deserves mounds and mounds of praise. Amen. I have a letter today from God the Father to any child that's not where you ought to be. It says, dear child, how are you? I just had to send you a note to tell you how much I care about you today. I saw you yesterday as you were talking with your friends and family. I waited all day hoping that you would talk with me. I gave you a sunset to close your day and a cool breeze to rest you, and I waited, but you never came. It hurt me, but I still love you because I'm your father. I saw you sleeping last night and I longed to touch your brow, so I spilled moonlight upon your face. Again, I waited and wanted to rush down so that we could talk. I've got so many gifts just for you. You awoke and you rushed off to church. My heart was broken. If you would only listen to me, I would say I love you. I try to tell you in blue skies and in the quiet green grass. I whisper it in the leaves on the trees and breathe it in the colors of the flowers. I shout it to you in the mountain streams, give you the birds' love songs to sing. I clothe you with a warm sunshine and I perfume you with the air of nature's scents. My love for you is deeper than the ocean and bigger than the biggest need in your heart. Please ask me. Please talk with me. Please don't forget me. I have so much to share and say to you. I hope that I will hear from you soon, but it's your decision. I have chosen you. Will you please choose me? I love you, your Father, God. There's no father like Him. I hope your relationship as a child is what it ought to be with your Father today. If you're not saved, He's not your Father. You need to come today and give your heart to Jesus. Say, I want to be His child. I want Him to be my Father. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening to the sermon today. We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says in the Gospel of John, chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible says in John chapter number 14 that Jesus saith unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Our prayer here at Open Door Baptist Church is that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, Jesus Christ loves you. He died for you, and He's more than capable and more than willing to cleanse you from unrighteousness and from your sins and make you a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The Bible says if you repent, turn from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ, and by faith believe in His death, His burial, and His resurrection for your salvation, you too can be saved. Our prayer is that you think upon this and that very soon you'll make an eternal decision to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Thank you so much.